Father, take the lead.
Take the lead.
Do your will. Have your way. In our midst, have your way. In our midst, take the lead. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Our month is the month of dedication. The kind of dedication that leads us unto dominion. So this evening, just a simple word. Why we live. Why we live. The objective is to understand the purpose of our lives. That's the subject, why we live. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, he said, "These people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." One of the worst tragedies of life is to be alive without knowing the reason. Many people today are alive without knowing the reason. It's like entering a vehicle and you don't know where you are going. It's like stepping into the university without knowing what you came to do there. Why we live? Now, why is it important for us to know why we live? Number one, knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to fulfill that purpose on earth. You can't fulfill a purpose you don't know. Knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to fulfill that purpose in the earth. Because it is possible to succeed in the wrong direction. There are many millionaires, billionaires, and all manner of successful people here and there that are completely far from why they are alive. Number two, knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to maximize and optimize our lives and time on the earth. Knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to maximize and optimize our lives and time on the earth. You maximize your life. You live maximally. You live optimally. Living optimally, living maximally is a function of knowing the purpose of our lives. The third reason, very important, knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to avoid the tragedy of the wasted life. It helps us to avoid the tragedy of the wasted life. The tragedy of a wasted life. He said in Psalm 90 verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 15, all the way to verse 17, he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Knowing the purpose of our lives helps us to avoid the tragedy of the wasted life. When you see a life given to prostitution, given to addictions of drugs, given to all these things, it's a function of a lack of understanding of life's purpose. Now, what? So why do we live? I want to rephrase it. For what do we live? For what? Number one, for God's praise. Number one, for God's praise. We live for God's praise. Isaiah 43 verse 21, where we read, "These people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." What do I mean for God's praise? Two things. First, living the life that brings him praise. Where your life causes people to praise God. You live in such a way where God is glorified. Like we used to sing in those days. Jesus must be honored. Must be honored. Must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Jesus must be honored. Must be honored. Must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Living to bring him praise. The second leg of it is living to give him praise. You don't just live to bring him praise. You give him honor with your character. That's right. This one is with your character, with your results. With your results. You are such an outstanding Christian man. Your result is so excellent. People are glorifying God when they see your result, see your wife, see your children, see your family. But the second aspect is living to give him praise. A life of continuous thanksgiving. A life of continuous appreciation. A life of continuous adoration. Please, I want to tell you something tonight. Don't forget it for life. Depression is not a part of the syllabus of life. Is not included in the syllabus for existence. Neither murmur ye as they murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Don't play with unhappiness. Don't play with joylessness. Don't play with depression. No matter what happens, always find something to give God praise for. Just look for something. There is something to always thank God for. Something may be bad, but it's not totally bad. And if it is bad, is God is the reason why it was not worse than it was. Somebody say amen. We live for his praise. Number two, for his pleasure. For his pleasure. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasures. They are and were created. This also has two legs. I was created for his praise. I was created for his pleasure. So what's the first leg first? That is, identify what gives him pleasure and embrace it. Identifying what gives God pleasure and embrace it. Worship gives him pleasure. Soul winning gives him pleasure. Helping the needy gives him pleasure. He that has pity on the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. Proverbs, I believe, chapter 19, verse 17. And that which he has given, he will give him back. Worship gives him pleasure. Soul winning gives him pleasure. Reaching out to the poor and the needy. Just identify what gives God pleasure. Embrace it. You are fulfilling the purpose for your life. The second leg is, identify what gives God pain and avoid it. What is it that gives him pain? Lying gives him pain. Say, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Sinning gives him pain. Oppression gives him pain. If you will, give him praise. Live for his praise and live for his pleasure. You have an assignment tonight. By the time this message is through, you are going to make a list of the things you are going to do to fulfill the purpose of your life according to this, what we are looking at. What is it that gives God pleasure? 1, 2, 3. Embrace it. What is it that will give God pain? 1, 2, 3. Avoid it. Then I'm fulfilling the purpose why I live. For what do we live? Number one, for God's praise. Number two, for God's pleasure. Number three, for Christ. We live for Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21. To me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Life is not worth living if it is not lived for Christ. What does it mean, again, to live for Christ? Again, we have two pillars here. Number one is living for the purpose that brought Christ to the earth. Living for the purpose that brought Christ to the earth. That is causing him to see the salvation, causing him satisfaction when he sees this travail of his soul. Living for the purpose that brought Christ to the earth. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to die, making sure that that death is not in vain, is fulfilling your purpose. Isaiah 53 and in verse 11. Isaiah 53 verse 11. He said, concerning Jesus, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Jesus on the cross is looking for a group of people like the young man, young boy who testified, 10-year-old child, and several of us who will be out on the assignment of ensuring that he did not die in vain, that his death was not wasted, that there are souls of men to account for his death. Living for the purpose that brought him to the earth. The second pillar of it is causing him to live his life through us, causing him to live his life through us. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the meaning of that second pillar? Christ lives his life in you. He lives his character through you. He loves his creation through you. People encounter you and can encounter the love of Christ. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. In all his wonders, compassions, and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp your own image deep in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. 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 Oh Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. So they feel his love, the sweetness of Jesus. You know, if you have ever sat in the presence of Jesus, the niceness of his presence, the niceness of his personality, the loveliness, the loveliness. When I gaze into your holy face, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surrounds becomes shadows in the light of you. It's so lovely. Jesus is so lovely. He's so kind, so pure, so clean, so neat. Around him is the breath of fresh air. He wants to live through us like that. Where people come around us, our climate is not toxic, endearing, exciting, attractive, interesting. It's a place, a climate to want to remain. He wants to live his life through us. So we are living for the purpose why he died, and we are allowing him to live. We are giving way for him to step forward and live through us. So we live for his praise, for God's praise. We live for God's pleasure. Number three, we live for Christ. Number four, for potentials and purpose realization. Potentials and purpose realization. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 5, God speaking to Jeremiah said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So there was a specific purpose to be a prophet, and the potentials of the prophet was inside him. Acts chapter 13 verse 36. The Bible said, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep and he was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. That is, he was not permitted to die until he served his generation. So what does this imply? Again, we stand on two pillars. First of all, we live for the maximal deployment of the gifts, the graces, and the potentials of God in our lives. For the glory of God and the benefit of humanity. The maximal deployment of the gifts, the graces, and the potentials of God in our lives. To glorify God first, and to profit mankind next. And the benefit of humanity. Hallelujah. What has God put in you? Are you glorifying Him with it? It's all right if you feel gifted to play the ball. It's all right. For as long as that ball playing glorifies God and lead many to eternity with God. For the maximal deployment of the gifts. Let God be glorified in my medical practice, in my legal practice. Let God be glorified in my singing. Let me sing until people are changed. Let me not sing until people are sinning. One of the things that challenges me the most is how God will give someone a singing voice, and he uses that voice to sing against God. It's a mystery. Because if you became a doctor, you trained for it. You're a lawyer, you went to school for it. But most times, you're a singer, God gave it to you. You were born with it. You didn't gift yourself. That is why not everybody is a singer. Then you carry what the giver gave. And you use it to make people drink high on drugs. There are other natural giftings like that. So don't forget that if you have any gift, you have any grace, you have any potential, it is so that that gift, that grace, that potential can glorify God first and benefit mankind. That is why you live. And then the second leg of this is for the maximization of the potentials of the earth. The maximization of the potentials of the earth. Again, to the glory of God and the benefit of mankind. When God asked Adam to till the ground, it's a matter of bring out the potentials of this earth. He put him in the garden to till the ground. And then he said to him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Bring out the potentials of the earth. This is the realm of wisdom, the realm of ideas, the realm of invention, the realm of innovations. If you are able to enter such realms. It's on record that over 90%, in fact, some authorities say 99% of the inventions on the earth, including this microphone, Thomas Edison, the voice box, the voice apparatus, the airplane, the Wright brothers, sons of a bishop, the 90 to 99% of this world's invention came from minds that have been touched by God. Anointed minds. Newton's laws of universal gravitation. Isaac Newton, the father of mechanics, mathematician, physicist, astronomer, theologian, one of the most influential scientists of all time. Do you see his title there? Place it again. Theologian. He wrote more on hermeneutics and homiletics, the art of sermon preparation, more than he wrote on physics. Michael Faraday was a lay preacher in the laboratory. Contributed so much in the fields of electromagnetism and electrochemistry. Faraday's laws of electrolysis. All these people. Anointed servants of God who also brought the potentials of the earth. Glorified God with their lives, with their inventions, with what they did. And it helped humankind. Mechanics, anything that moves, owe it to Newton. Hallelujah. The field of what we call further mathematics today. We live for Christ. We live for potentials and purpose realization. And number five, for His presence. For God's presence, for His presence. One thing we'll understand. What to understand is that Genesis chapter 2 verse 5:6-7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. I can picture God sitting around the rivers of Eden and molded clay and kept molding until he became a mold. Then he did, a man became a living soul. So when man woke up, he was confronted with at least 2-3 things. He woke up in the presence of God. He woke up in the breath of God. He woke up inside the glory of God. Can you see? The climate of man's birth was God's presence, God's breath, God's glory. How you started is the determinant of how you continue. If we started in His presence, we can't continue without His presence. Having begun in the spirit, Paul the Apostle said, are you now perfected in the flesh? Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. If you started in the spirit, would you, oh foolish, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Having started in the spirit, was that verse 3 or 4? Are you so foolish? Having started in the spirit, yes, place it back. Are you now trying to be made perfect in the flesh? How did we start? The climate of God's presence, the climate of God's breath, the climate of God's glory. If that was how we started, there is no other way to continue but in God's presence. Somebody say amen. That was why in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 8, verse 7, sorry, yes, Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 7, 8. And God, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The garden of Eden was the garden of God's presence. He was there. They felt Him. They felt His presence. They lived there. But once sin came, God drove them out. Genesis chapter 3 Verse 23. He drove them out of the garden. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And one reason why Jesus Christ came is to return us back to that presence. When the veil of the temple was torn into two, when Jesus said it is finished, it is to make the way into the Holy of Holies that the priest went once a year. Now everybody could go in and be in God's presence. When Cain sinned again, he left God's presence. In Genesis 4 and in verse 14, after Adam was driven from God's presence, Cain said, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." So sin was always hiding them from God's face. But critical thing to note now, what climate did the fish find itself at creation? Where did the fish find itself? When God said, "Let the water," where did the fish find itself? In water. So where will the fish survive? Water. Where did the plants find themselves? Earth. So where will plant grow? Earth. Where did the birds find themselves? In the air. So where will they, where is their paradise? Sky. When man was created, where did he find himself? In the presence of God. So where will we thrive? God's presence. That is where to survive. That is where to thrive. Anything you do to secure the presence, anything you do to concentrate the presence of God around your life, you are fulfilling an assignment for your life. And two pillars of this, and then we close. Or three. Number one, live in His presence on the earth. Live in His presence. Just live. Everything you can do, we all beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. Live in His presence. Number two, distribute His presence in the earth. Everywhere you show up, let someone feel God. I perceive that He's a holy man of God that passeth by us continually. 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 9. Let somebody perceive something when they encounter you. Let somebody feel something when they look into your eyes. I was ministering somewhere last week, and a woman told me that her 15-year-old daughter cried throughout the message. She kept on weeping. So I said, "What happened to her?" She said, "When she was looking at your face, she felt like she was looking at God's face. It did something to her. She couldn't stop crying throughout the message." You showed up somewhere and climate changed. I preached in Fort Worth, Texas. Last year, October, I ministered with Jonathan Shuttlesworth. The custom delayed us at the airport for nothing. Just checking luggage and all of that. Meeting was going fast. They kept on waiting. By the time we stepped into the meeting, one man by the name Jeff Others, he had been around gospel ministry for decades. He said, "Pastor, when you stepped in, something stepped in." He said, "The last time I felt something like that was about the year of 1994, 30 years ago, when Benny Hinn came to Florida." He said, the climate changed. He said, "I don't know what happened, but," he said, "I told my wife." So, live in His presence. Secondly, distribute His presence. Let people come into your presence and not contact flesh. Let them contact him. And are you ready for number three? End in his presence in eternity. If we are created for God's presence, we cannot end anywhere but with God. Whatever you do, don't go to hell. Apart from the fact that there is a vacuum in our heart for God's presence, it is also clear that hell is not where we belong. So, beloved, why do we live? So many reasons. But I have itemized five. Can you say it out with me? Number one, for God's praise. Number two, for God's pleasure. Number three, for Christ. Number four, for potentials and purpose realization. And number five, for God's presence. Stand up on your feet. Lift your hands and worship him. And we are going to key in from this last point and make demands on open heavens. Make demands on open heavens. And make demands on open heavens. Lift your voice and your hands and say after me, say, Father. Louder, say, Father, I have come before you. I ask. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father,
I have come before you.
I have come before you.
And I ask.
And I ask
that you will help me.
That you will help me
to live.
To live
for your praise.
For your praise
in the earth.
In the earth.
To live.
To live
for your pleasure.
For your pleasure
in the earth.
In the earth.
To live.
To live
for Christ.
For Christ.
In the earth.
In the earth.
To live for potentials and purpose realization in the earth.
To live
in your presence.
Help me,
Lord.
Let this word
be real in my life. In the name of Jesus. All right, go on ahead and open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. To live. Shabbat shalom.